go back really quick and hit verse 4.
Jude says that there are certain men crept in unawares. What does that mean? Crept in unawares.
Well,
snuck in.
Snuck in. They have snuck in somewhere or other.
Yeah.
There's a
undetected.
Undetected. They came in undetected. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation? Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how could these guys get in there undetected unless they had made a confession that Jesus was the Lord? This is a very perplexing scripture. And then, of course, it talks about predestination here, that these guys were ordained to condemnation from way back when.
I was wondering if you was going to bring that up.
I don't know what you do with that for sure. All I know is that you have these scriptures every once in a while that sure look like predestination.
Yeah.
And so you just have to sort of scratch your head, and whenever you see one of them, you have to just say, well, okay, it's in there. And to me, the whole contrast between free will and predestination runs throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. There's a tension in the Bible between these two concepts. Free will on the one hand, whosoever will on the one hand, and people who are ordained for such and such on the other hand. And from Genesis to Revelation, you see both of these themes in the Bible. They are side by side. Now, how they can exist side by side, nobody really knows. There's actually a definition for that. It's called an antinomy. It is an antinomy. It's something that cannot be explained. It is a contradiction that cannot be explained. For example, the example that is used in nature to illustrate this is that light is both a wave and a particle. Scientists have discovered that light is both a wave and a particle, which are mutually they're mutually exclusive. If it's a wave, it can't be a particle. If it's a particle, it can't be a wave. but light is both. There's no way to explain it. It is a contradiction. It's not just something that there is an explanation for. It is a contradiction, and nobody knows how it exists, but it exists. The same thing is true of free will and predestination. It's both in the Bible. They both exist, and they're both true. But we don't know how they can be both true when nobody knows. We can't explain it. It's just there. It's like the Trinity. You can't explain the Trinity, but it's there. All we can do is just marvel at the Trinity. That's all we can do. And it's all we can do really with these two themes of free will and predestination. They're both in there. There's no real way to make them come together. They're mutually exclusive, but they're both in there.
They are.
So all we can do is just, you know, just like Mary did when, you know, she heard all these things about Jesus, she just pondered them in her heart.
Yep.
She just kept them in her heart and pondered these things. And that's about all we can do at this point, because it's beyond us to really understand it, and we can't, you know, so we can argue. There are people that take both sides, and they say, well, you know, it's got to be this. And then the Calvinists take the other side and say, well, it's got to be this. Well, no, that's not the way to do it. We have to recognize, yes, they're both in there, and there's no way to explain them, but you can't ignore either of them.
Right.
You cannot ignore either one of them.
Yeah.
Amen.
So you can't just take one side and argue that side.
Yeah.
You have to recognize that there is something there that we can't figure out. And this is one of those strange scriptures. that we can't figure this out. They crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this, and how they could creep in, how they could sneak into the church without making a declaration of faith is beyond me. But somehow or other, they must have done it.
Yep.
All right, so these are some strange guys.
I want to ask you a question. What does it mean when he said, "I'm going to blot your name"? Your name will be blotted out.
Well, it must have been in there in the first place in order to be blotted out.
Right.
One would think. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know. And of course, again, you know, this is another example. You're talking about eternal security versus, you know, what Mary just described. And you can find scriptures, the Baptists and those who believe in eternal security have got plenty of scriptures that they use to back it up. And of course, we've got plenty of scriptures, if you don't believe in it, to back up your side. And there's no real way to get them together. I can't.
Not fully,
no.
But I don't know, I'm this way. I don't want to take a chance.
No, I don't want to take any chances. This is the way I approach it. I hope that eternal security is true. I hope it is. But I want to live like it isn't. I want to live like it isn't. But I hope that it is. Okay. So there you go.
Risk.
Nobody wants to take a chance. Nobody wants to take a risk.
Yeah.
So we've got these scriptures in the Bible, and they are amazing. That's about all you can really say about them. They're truly amazing scriptures.
Well, God is amazing.
God is amazing. There's no way to really fully understand. You can't fully understand God. And so the author of this book obviously put some things in it that we cannot fully understand. We just can't grasp it. We just can't wrap our minds around some of these scriptures. That's all there is to it.
His thoughts are high above all.
That is true.
I mean, yes, predestination and free will both exist.
They both exist at the same time.
So, I mean, he's just bigger than
in the same place.
Can't grab it, so.
That is true.
He's gone.
All right, let's read verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Mm. Now, if you think about how the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they all came out. There was not one single one left behind. As a matter of fact, Moses told Pharaoh, there will not be a hoof left behind. We will not leave one single one of our critters behind. We're going not only
not even our bad children.
No, that's right. We're leaving. Our wives are leaving. Our kids are leaving.
Yep.
All of us are leaving. Good and bad. Those who believe and those who don't. We're all leaving. We're not leaving anybody behind.
Yep.
All right. So the good and the bad went out. So even the unbelievers went out. They left the land of Egypt and they left the land of bondage. They, even in their unbelief, they left the land of bondage.
Yeah.
But they afterward were destroyed because they believed not.
Right.
All right.
You see a miracle like they saw and then you don't believe.
Yeah. I mean, they actually saw some real miracles.
It is truly amazing that after you saw the 10 plagues and the way that God brought them out of Egypt, why you would need to see any more miracles to have to believe. But of course they still did, and they still didn't believe, so God destroyed that whole generation. The whole generation was destroyed because they believed not, even though somehow or other they got out of Egypt. They couldn't get into the promised land. So there is, and it might be too deep for New Year's Eve. I don't know. For 9:30 in the morning, it probably is too deep. All right. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. What's he talking about there?
The end times.
The what?
The end times.
Yeah. Who are these angels?
I believe they're the one that had married women.
That's right. Because, remember, in the book of Revelation, in the 12th chapter, there were angels in heaven, and they were cast out under the earth. Mm-hmm. They weren't reserved in everlasting chains under darkness. Mm-hmm. Not those guys.
Yeah.
So we're talking about a different set of angels,
right,
than what we see in Revelation chapter 12. See, all roads lead back to Revelation.
Yeah.
You can't get out of it. So we're talking about a different set of angels. And you're right, these are the angels, these are the sons of God, who saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took unto them wives, all of whom they chose. Mm-hmm. These sons of God, according to Jewish authorities, and according to the book of Enoch and so on, the sons of God are a high, high class of angel. Mm-hmm. They are a class of angel. You've got cherubim, you've got seraphim, you've got angels, you've got archangels, but the sons of God were a class of angel higher than all of these. And for some reason, they were able to do something that apparently no other angel has ever been able to do, and that is take on some form of human flesh and cohabitate with women. No other angel can do that. Satan can't do it. If he could do it, he would have done it. He'd have done it already. He can't do it. The Bible describes him as a cherub, the anointed cherub that covers in Ezekiel. Mm-hmm. It talks about Satan as being such. So he is a cherub. He's described as a cherub. So the cherubim can't apparently do it, but these sons of God could do it. But once they did it, God laid hold on them and cast them into chains of darkness and wouldn't let them run around loose. Nope. They're not running around loose. They're not.
We'll all be giants.
Yes, we would. That's exactly why he did that. That's why God had to stop that.
And the bloodline would be there.
That is true. Now, so in a sense, you see that these guys were even more dangerous than Satan himself. Mm-hmm. Because these people could have polluted the entire human race and wiped us out. Mm-hmm. By their, you know, mm-hmm, mongrelization. They could have wiped us out. There wouldn't be any longer any pure humans. Mm-hmm. They could have wiped us out. We'd all been giants. Mm-hmm. Now, God, they were too dangerous, mm-hmm, to let run around loose. Mm-hmm. So when they did these things, God put them in chains in darkness. And if you read the book of Enoch, that goes into quite a great detail about where they are and all this, what's going on, where they're at right now. So they are reserved in everlasting chains under darkness under the judgment of the great day. They're not running around loose. These sons of God are not running around loose. Now, yes, thank God for that. The only question is, well, you know, let me read what it says when it first comes up in the book of Genesis chapter 6. I mean, this, I didn't really intend to get off on this, but this is really interesting. Genesis chapter 6, and it came to verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Then in verse 4 says, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old men of renown. So we know that it happened before the flood, and it says it happened after that. Because it says there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. Because when they went into the land of Israel, or when they were going to go into the land of Israel, one of the complaints was that we saw the giants in the land. There were giants in the land. And this guy named Og, the king of Bashan, his bed was 13 feet long, which means that's approximately how long he was. It's a pretty good sized guy, 13 feet tall. So we know that it happened before the flood, and then it happened after the flood. So apparently, this business that the sons of God did happened more than once. And there was one group of these sons of God that God apparently chained up when they did it before the flood. But then all of a sudden after the flood, there was apparently another rebellion of some sort, and the sons of God, and some more sons of God, did the same thing. Either that or else God just let them have a pass the first time and said, well, you know, I know you did a bad thing, but we'll give you a pass, just don't do it again. And then when they did it again, then he locked them up. I don't see that happening. But either way, you've got, so apparently, you know, and the question is, are all of the sons of God now, are they all locked away in chains of darkness? Are all of them?
The
ones who did this are.
Yes,
but are there others who haven't done any such thing? And is it possible that they still might do such a thing? You see what I'm saying?
God knows.
Because they did it once before the flood. And then they did it again after the flood, if not the same ones, apparently a different bunch of the same crew did it. So unless that is all of them now, then there are still some sons of God out there, and there's still a possibility that here in the end of time, they might do it again.
God has a remedy for them.
There is a remedy. But it's just something that we need to be aware of. That in the last, you know, when the Bible says in the days, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. And so that's what was going on in the days of Noah. That was actually happening in the days of Noah. Okay? Jesus said, as the days of Noah were, so shall the days of the coming of the Son of Man be. It is possible that we're going to see this same phenomenon again in the last days. It is possible. So,
Lord, help us.
Selah on that for a while this morning.
If we start seeing men 13 feet tall, I'm going to wonder what's going on. I'm going to wonder about that.
It is amazing.
Well, I've seen some tall ones. The tallest we have is 7 feet, 6 and 7. You know?
Yeah.
But if you get any taller than that, I'm going to be like my sister here.
That's right. If they start getting up around 9 feet tall, then we might start thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I thought it was Goliath.
Goliath was 9 feet 4 inches, as far as we can tell.
Well,
he was 6 cubits in a span.
Yeah.
So it was 9 feet 4 inches. And all of his brothers, he had 4 brothers who were all giants. So there were 5 of them. And you know, interestingly enough, David went down to the stream and picked up 5 smooth stones. And just in case he ran into all 5 of them, he was going to be ready to knock out all 5 of them. He was going to be ready, okay. So eventually they killed off all 5 of them. They did eventually kill all 5, but not that same day. But anyway, so that's enough. Mind-blowing stuff for one morning, I guess.
He said that Satan was the cherub. I think
yes. That's
kind of interesting that our little sweet, chubby, precious Valentine is cherub.
Our little
and we make him so sweet.
Our little Cupid.